We come now to the part of our service where we hear the reading of the scriptures and we hear the message that goes with that. And so in that spirit, let us pray together the unison prayer of illumination. Holy God, through the generations you have spoken to us. You have sent voices crying out in the wilderness. You've sent the words of an overjoyed new father and an expectant mother. You have sent assurance of a condemned man on a cross. Quiet in us any voice but your own, that by the power of your Spirit, we might hear the words you speak to us today. Our first lesson comes from Jeremiah, this prophet who had much to say. And in his prophecy, in this particular passage from the 23rd chapter, the first six verses, God is not happy. And through Jeremiah, God is speaking and saying what the things are that have happened, but there's a light at the end because of what is foretold. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading for the morning is from Colossians, the first chapter, verses 11 through 20. And once again, the Apostle Paul is here now telling us and giving a message to the church that's in Colossae. And he's saying that they can be made strong if they remember that Christ is King. So verses 11 through 20. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things that have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel lesson comes from Luke chapter 23, verses 33 through 43. When they came to the place that is called the skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He replied, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Today is the last Sunday of the church's calendar. We run a different calendar in the church than we do in our society. Today is known as Christ the King, or the reign of Christ. And I want to kind of briefly go through the church calendar. If today is the equivalent of December the 31st, that means that next Sunday is the equivalent of January the 1st. And in the church calendar, we begin with Advent. We begin with waiting in expectation and hope for the coming of the Lord. We are waiting for, or we're celebrating his first coming as well as waiting in anticipation for his second coming. And this goes for 4 weeks, and it takes us to Christmas, where we celebrate the birth of the Lord in Bethlehem. Soon after that is Epiphany, where we celebrate the coming of the Magi. And then the week after that is the baptism of the Lord, where we celebrate Jesus' baptism by John the Baptist. And then a few weeks later, we come to Lent. Lent is that time of preparation. 6 weeks we prepare for Good Friday and for Easter Sunday. And there at the end of Lent, we have Holy Week. We have the celebration of the Palms, Palm Sunday. And we have the Maundy Thursday, where Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples, where the Lord's Supper is instituted. And then we have Good Friday when he dies, and then Easter Sunday when he rises. And then 8 Sundays later, we have Pentecost, the birth of the church. And then there's what is called the ordinary times that take us through till the end of the church calendar, and we celebrate Christ the King. So we begin the year with hope and anticipation of the coming of the King, and we end the year declaring that Jesus is King, King of all. And we see it partially now, but when he comes again, we'll see it in its fullness. I find it interesting how the lectionary scriptures for this morning view the kingship of Christ. We have the Old Testament reading, Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, who describes the kings of Judah as shepherds. But they're not good shepherds. Just the opposite. They've led the sheep astray. And now the sheep, the people, have been defeated by the Babylonians and taken into exile. But the prophets also say, the day is coming. The day is coming when I'll raise up a good shepherd. A good shepherd that will reign over you, that will bring about justice and righteousness. And we get the image from this reading of a king who is powerful and strong and good and just. the type of king we would want. And then we move to Colossians, the New Testament reading. And what a wonderful description of Christ, the supremacy of Christ the King, that Christ is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn from the dead. He is the one who has come and reconciled us to God. Again, we're getting these images of a good but powerful and strong and righteous and just king. But then we come to the gospel reading. And Jesus on the cross, dying. Where is the power, the victory, the strength? We don't see it. The only thing we see that even remotely looks like a king is the sign that was placed over the cross that said, the King of the Jews, the crime he was being accused of and put to death for. But looks can be very deceiving. For what looks like weakness of the cross, Jesus on the cross, is actually the strength and the power of God. And what appears to be defeat is actually victory. For we find victory on the cross. And we get just a little taste of that with the interaction that Jesus had with the thief that was next to him. You know, you have Jesus on the cross and you have the ones who had worked to make sure he was getting crucified. They're making fun of him. They're jeering him on. And the Roman soldiers are doing the same thing. And then here's this one thief also saying it. You know, if you're the Christ, get on down. Come on and take us with you. But then there's that other criminal, that other thief on the cross who rebukes the other one and says, you got to just hush up. We're getting what we deserved. But this man's innocent. And then he turns to Jesus and says, Jesus, remember me when you get to your kingdom. And Jesus tells him, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus is a different kind of king. Often when we think of kings, we think of the crown that they wear made of gold and precious gems. But the crown that Jesus wore was a crown of thorns. We think of a king sitting on a throne, this big fancy chair lifted high above all the people. But the throne of Jesus is a cross. We think of kings as being rich and powerful, having many possessions. The only possessions that Jesus has is being taken from him and distributed among the soldiers who are crucifying him. Some king. When we talk about Jesus the King, Jesus on the cross, we have to remember that he did not die there alone. That there were two thieves with him. Two people dying with him. And I would suggest to you that there were actually three thieves there at Golgotha. There were those two thieves who stole either money or other people's possessions. But there was also Jesus. And he was performing the greatest heist of all times on that cross, right in front of them. And they didn't see it coming. That sign above his cross shouldn't have said King of the Jews. It should have said King of Thieves. for what he was about to do. But before I share that great theft, that great heist on the cross, let me go over Jesus' criminal record of being a thief. Jesus stole from the woman at the well. You remember the woman, the Samaritan woman. She had five husbands, and the man she was living with now was not her husband. Jesus stole from her her shame and her guilt. There were lepers who were cursed, considered cursed and ostracized from their community. And Jesus stole from them. He stole their disease and he stole their disenfranchisement and sent them back whole to their communities. Jesus stole from the sick, the lame, the poor. He stole from them the disgrace of their place in society and offered to them a seat at his banquet table. Jesus stole from the mute their silence and gave them voices so that they might praise God. He stole from the blind their darkness and gave them eyes that could see the light. He stole from the 5,000 their self-pity and their complaining and replaced it by filling their bellies and their souls with good things. He also stole from the pious, proud, self-righteous Pharisees. And he exposed their hypocrisy and their sin. The list goes on and on of all these things that Jesus stole from people. But now on the cross was this greatest theft of all. Because on the cross, he stole from death. He stole from death its victory and its power. He stole from sin its power over us. These are the greatest thefts of all, so that we might have new life. That we might not have to fear death. That we might not fear judgment from God. So when we talk about Jesus as King, what do we need to be asking ourselves? I think the main question we need to ask, are we willing to let Jesus steal from us? Will you let Jesus steal your heart? Let Jesus rule within you. Will you let Jesus steal your sin, your pride, your arrogance, your self-sufficiency? Will you let him begin a new work within you? We celebrate Christ the King, the ruler of all. But will you let him rule in your life? Come to this day, the last Sunday of the church calendar. And we proclaim with our voices and we proclaim with the ways that we live that Christ is King. A great way to end the year. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you that you are the King. And you don't rule the way earthly kings rule. For your power is shown through weakness. Your kingship is shown through servanthood. And you steal from us those things that are killing us. And you replace them with things that give us life. That give us joy.
and peace. You fill us with your love and your grace. And so may we be your people who acknowledge you as King of all. And may we be your people who live out this faith and share it with others that they too might give their lives to you. We pray this in the name of Jesus the King. Amen.